This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
Are you dreading homework starting this year? I mean, aren't we all? If so, we have a fun way to really get you back into the swing of things that's going to up your parenting confidence, and it's going to make homework a lot more calmer and productive for your entire family. It's the Drama-Free Homework Challenge, and it starts this week. Go sign up and join us, noguiltmom.com/registration-homework-challenge. We will see you there. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by my, we're COVID-free, Bree Tucker.
Hello, hello, buddy. How are you? Yeah, we're COVID-free, but for how long? It seems like everywhere I go, everybody is still getting sick.
Everyone is still getting sick. Everyone coming back from vacation is getting sick. You mentioned this morning that like the bus drivers in our district, they're missing 70 of them because they're all sick.
Yep.
It's just the state of things that we're in, unfortunately. Do you ever get really hard on yourself when you're sick? Like this COVID has really thrown me for a loop because whenever my body feels tired, I feel like it's a personal failing.
I see that with you. I do. Now, COVID, it wasn't fun. And I'm still bitter about COVID. COVID took away like my whole summer. So whatever, COVID.
It did.
You suck. We don't get much summer out here in Phoenix. I had 1 month, man, and you took it all. But that's okay. But no, I do see that. Like a lot of people, and you especially. Yeah, I know. It's hard for you. Like the there's a million things to do and letting go. Maybe it's not as hard for me at this moment because I have been working on that in my marriage.
Yeah.
Letting go and letting somebody else help me and accepting that person's help without feeling guilty and telling them that I'm constantly sorry that they had to help me.
That is a great life lesson, actually. And I'm glad you're working on that, and hearing you work on that makes me think I really need to do my own personal work on that as well. I mean, just yesterday, like I was feeling horrible again, and Josh came in and like made spaghetti and meatballs with the kids, and I was all set to apologize. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm like not worth anything. And it's amazing how ingrained that is in us, even though logically I know that, you know, we're a partnership and he's here and I'm here and we work together. It's hard emotionally to get over.
It is. It really is. And I think when you add on the factor too of being an entrepreneur, your own business, there's no vacation days, really. I mean, right? I mean, we have things that we can do, but things still got to happen. So it's hard when you're out and you're sick.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
Which is why we're really excited to bring to you this interview with Jenna Kutcher, who like I have followed for so long now. And she is just such a joy and such an inspiration. And we know that you are going to enjoy our conversation with her. She is a New York Times bestselling author of the new book, How Are You Really?, which is phenomenal. You should go get it. She's a podcaster, author, digital marketer, educator, dreamer mother and number one most curious human. She's the mom of two, and she teaches women how to wake up to life and stop faking that you're enjoying it. And Jenna believes that change happens where the woo meets the work, which I love. So enjoy our conversation with Jenna and look for those moments in the episode. She has some really great mic drops, things that you're going to want to write on your wall and remind yourself of later. Enjoy our interview with Jenna. If laundry is one of those things on your to-do list that you just wish you can delegate to somebody else, we have the way you can do it. It is called Hamper. It is like the Uber of laundry. You literally pull up an app, you put in your information, and somebody comes to your door, gets your laundry, and brings it back folded for you and clean within 24 hours. It is such an amazing, amazing thing. Go check out Hamper. We have a link for you in the show notes.
Don't forget to use our code NOGUILT10 for $10 off your annual membership.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
So, Jenna, one thing, when I started your book, I was reminded again of your story about how you really started in the corporate world and you started climbing this ladder that everybody, like you expect you have to climb. Mm-hmm. And then you found that it wasn't for you. Can you tell us a little bit about how those feelings came up and what it was like?
For sure. I think a lot of us find this ourselves in places like that where we arrive somewhere and we're like, this is not what I thought it would be, or this is not what I thought it would feel like. And I remember so specifically, I was working in a corporate job. I felt so blessed. I'm from Minnesota and my parents worked like the same jobs their entire lives. And so it's kind of like one of those thoughts of like, you get a job and 401k benefits and you would be a fool to walk away. And no one in my family had been an entrepreneur before, so that wasn't even on my radar. But I remember sitting down and I had this amazing boss, and she was a woman, and she had this little picture of her kids on her desk. And I kind of realized like she never really talked about her family much. And I kind of pointed to the picture and I said, oh my gosh, they're so cute. Are those your kids? And she kind of changed the subject really quick. And she had said, she's like, you know, if I'm lucky, I'll get home in time to give them a bath and put them to bed. And I remember that moment because I didn't even want kids at the time. I was planning a wedding and we didn't really have kids on our minds. And I just remember thinking, gosh, you know, it seemed like a really sad point for her of, yeah, she has this super successful job and she's this boss and all these things, but like, just seemed like something was off. And a few weeks later, she had this meeting with me and she handed me my 5-year plan. And I remember it being presented to me and my brain goes, nobody asked me what I want in 5 years. Like, right? Who created this plan without me? And I remember it being presented as like this gift of like, here, let me bestow this plan for your life upon you. And when you really think about it, you kind of referenced it. There are a lot of life supposed tos where it is almost like our lives are planned out before we choose what they'll be. And I remember going back into my office and looking at a picture on my desk, and it was of my fiance at the time, and thinking, do I want to live a life where I look at this picture of him, or is there a way to figure out how to live a life where I look at his face and not a picture of it? And I didn't know what that would be, and I didn't know what that would look like, and I didn't know it would be entrepreneurship or more specifically photography, but I knew what I didn't want any longer. And I think something important to note here is that a lot of people, if you ask them, like, what are you most passionate about or what do you want in your life? A lot of times we have a hard time saying that. We don't even know, right? Like, what is passion these days? We're surviving. But for me, a lot of my path has not been led by knowing where I want to go. It's more been based off of, here's what I know I don't want. Here's what I know does not work for me. Here's what I know makes me feel sick to my stomach. How do I move away from that? And yeah, so yeah. I started that path of moving away, and it led me to a camera, and that camera led me to a photography business, which opened so many doors, but I didn't know that's what I wanted and I didn't know where it would go.
I love that because you've just really gone down path of uncertainty. you knew what you didn't want and you kind of like opened yourself up to the world and was like, okay, well, what can I explore with? What can I do? What do I want? Yeah. And your story so reminds me of me in my first career. Like I was working in the entertainment industry in LA and I didn't want kids at the time either. Yeah, but I was about to marry my husband and I knew that when me getting home from work at 9 p.m., that was not the life that I wanted to live at all. Yeah. And so I think it's so key there that you're like, I didn't know what I wanted, but I knew what I didn't want. And I could move away from that.
Yes. I think it's really scary to do that, right? To have that, like, I know I'm not happy, but the idea of the unknown is so scary for so many of us.
Well, and I think too, when you take that even a step further of like, I should be happy, but I'm not.
Right.
I think that even terrifies us even more because as women, we are so quick to add in caveats. Like I have 401k, I have benefits, I have job, I have security. Like, why am I not happy? Surely it's me. Mm-hmm. I'm the problem instead of actually just saying, oh wait, maybe this just wasn't the right fit for myself. And so it's like, I think a lot of us are walking through life thinking, what is wrong with me that I should be happy and I'm not? And instead of addressing opportunity to move in the right direction.
Yeah, we get in these like paths that we feel like we put so much work into it and so much effort into it that we're afraid to deviate from it and to change. And what I love about your story is you've basically changed your path about three times. You started HR, right? Because you went from a very corporate career to a very creative endeavor.
Yeah. And a million other things. You know, it's funny when you say that, because I'm like, I feel like I've reinvented myself. I feel like I've lived 80 lifetimes in 34 years. And I think it's because I'm not afraid to reinvent myself.
I think that is a huge, huge thing. I mean, you talk about this a lot, Joanne, about like not being a don't let the fear hold you back on things. And I think that that's something that a lot of us as women have been taught. You should be afraid of some things. Like you shouldn't, like you said, like you need to be happy. You should be grateful for what you have. And the fear of failing is so, so big. And it ties you down and keeps you from being able to do the things that truly could fulfill and make your life so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I feel like, so we had another guest on, Christine Michael Carter, and she mentioned something that has always really stuck in my mind is that women in society aren't given many chances. We're not given many chances. And so we feel like we have to be perfect with every single chance we get. Like, have you felt like that shown up in your life at all?
Hey, all, it is Joanne.
And Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explains, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Yes and no. You know, it's funny because I feel like, and even having daughters now, I see it where it's like so much of the messaging is like, just wait for somebody to come save you. Mm. Like, just wait for the door to open or your big break moment or that one invitation that will change your life. And I don't wait for my big breaks. I make them. And I think that there's something really powerful about that because I don't have this fear of saying no to things. Because I think what happens is a lot of women say yes to everything because there's that deep-seated belief that maybe this will be my big break. Mm-hmm. And if I say no, I'm going to miss the opportunity that could have changed my life. So I better just show up, even if I don't want to, even if it's not the right fit. And I just don't subscribe to that. And so I have learned how to like protect my best yeses and bet on myself, not from this egotistical standpoint, but like with this deep belief of like, what has gotten me this far will carry me forward. Those gifts, those skills, those unique abilities, they're not going anywhere. They're coming with me on the ride. And so if it's gotten me this far, it's going to carry me forward. And I trust that.
I love that. Like they've gotten you this far. You're going to keep them with you. I love that.
It's hard though, to find that confidence in betting on yourself and really knowing yourself, because what you said right there, it's like, you have to say yes to every opportunity because you're like, well, what if I do like this? And what if this is a good thing? Like, how do you even start that process of figuring out what's your no's and what's your yes?
Yeah. So inside of my book, How Are You Really? There's this thing called a life inventory. And it's like, I want us to do like a full-on forensic sweep of like, who are we? Because imagine, like a lot of times when people sit down for my podcast, it's like, I want to ask them like, who are you without all these titles and accolades and things? Like, who are you? Who are you really? I remember this moment during the pandemic, my husband and I, we were driving in the car and we were talking about someone that we know. And we were like, I wonder what she does besides work and be a mom. And then I was like, what do I do besides work and being a mom? Like, where it was like, who am I? Like, what are my hobbies? What do I enjoy? What am I curious about? Like, what am I doing? And it was kind of this wake up call of like, wait, like, who am I? And you kind of hinted on it before, but like this notion of identity, there's this idea. I had this incredible guest on my podcast, Dr. Maya Shanker, and she talks about this idea of identity foreclosure, which is when we hold on to past titles or identities that once served us or that we thought would serve us, and we struggle to let them go. It's kind of like the reason of you sign up for a 4-year degree and 2 years in, you're like, you know, this isn't the right fit, but you tough it out because you're like, right. I don't want to have wasted 2 years. So I'm willing to waste two more. Like that's kind of how we're moving through life. We're holding on to like jeans from high school, waiting for them to fit us instead of just saying they're not made to fit me any longer. They don't work any longer. And so you kind of hinted at it, but it's like, I've reinvented myself many times. And I think that's because change doesn't scare me. I welcome it because to me, change signifies growth and evolution. And it honestly ushers in like the fullness of life, like the fullness of the human experience.
I love that because I am somebody who is scared of change. Like I know I'm scared of change though. So I'm like trying to overcome
you and the rest of the world though. You're not alone.
Yeah, it's a hard thing. I mean, we talk about Brie. Brie, don't move my cheese, Tucker.
Yeah, my nickname is Don't Move My Cheese. So you can see Brie has some issues with letting go and trying new things that scare her.
Yeah. Okay, wait, though. Let's talk about this. So this is a therapy session. Yes, I'm not a licensed therapist. So here's the thing that I want us all to remember is like the reason why we fear change is uncertainty, right? Mm-hmm. Look at the world that we have just navigated the last 2.5 years. We literally didn't know what tomorrow would bring, what rules would change, how our lives would change, what would happen with our kids. Like we didn't know anything and we survived, didn't we?
Totally. We did.
We totally survived. So change a lot of times, and I think most specifically for women, when I think about it, is scary, not for ourselves and our own uncertainty, because I think deep within us, we have a belief that everything will be okay. Mm-hmm. But change scares us because change makes other people uncomfortable.
It does make people uncomfortable because, right? You know, the things that go through my head is I'm like, oh my gosh, well, what is my friend from high school going to think when I put this out there? Like, she's going to call me on it.
She's not even thinking about you. She's thinking about her own change that she's not dealing with. That's the thing though. That's the truth. There's this part of my book where it like kicks off a chapter and it's like, do you guys remember signing yearbooks and you'd write like never change? And the notion of that idea is like, if you change, will we still be friends? If you change, will we still have things in common? If you change, will I be reminded that I'm still stuck?
Mm.
And when you think about it, like I've been through so many seasons of my life, specifically in entrepreneurship, where like people can't relate, or my growth is really just a reflection that like they haven't changed. And I used to take that energy on or play small or like hide like what I was up to because I knew it had this, you know, ability or maybe this tendency if it would make other people feel stuck. And instead I've changed it as an invitation. I'm changing and you're invited to change too. Let's go. And I feel like even as a mom, I've adopted this where it's like when I put my toddler to bed every night, I say this one thing to her and I should say it to you and me. Is I love who you are, but more than that, I love who you're becoming. And it's like we haven't invited ourselves to become anymore. It's like mm-hmm. we're just stuck.
I think you nailed it right there where you're like, when you change, other people are going to be reminded that they're stuck. And I think it really goes back to kind of a people pleasing mentality.
That's
too.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Where 100%. I'm like, I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like I don't 100%.
I don't want my happiness to make somebody else feel bad.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I think that's also why we tend not to share our accomplishments or like share our happiness, because it's going to be considered as bragging or like making somebody mm-hmm. feel less than.
Okay. So let's talk about this. So you guys have heard the story about the 4-minute mile, right?
Remind me of that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So for the history of time, people did not believe it was humanly possible to run a mile in 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then finally someone did it. And literally within a few months, multiple people had done it. Something that was seen as impossible. All of a sudden, all these people are cracking this record because guess what? They now know it's possible. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've realized, especially as a woman in business and someone who has found, quote, success, is that when I play small, I'm missing the opportunity to paint the possibility for someone else. When I share about my success, I am painting the 4-minute mile so that other women know it's possible for them too.
I feel like I need to write that down and put it in my office, Jenna, so I see it all the time.
You know, it's like if I can paint the possibility for someone else by sharing my wins or my success so that another woman says, like, if she can, so can I. That is going to serve me and the greater good of the entire world more than hiding what I know to be true.
Yes. Okay. Like
I'm
thinking to myself, how lucky are your girls to have this mindset so strong in their mother that's going to be passed on to them? I feel like a lot of us, we struggle to find our own paths to break away from what we saw our parents doing, and knowing that you're already coming in with this open mindset. How amazing of a gift is that?
Yeah.
A lot of our audience says that they feel like they don't have the time to be the fun mom. They don't have enough time to spend quality time with their kids. And I think there's such a notion like in society that we have to plan these extra activities with our kids and enrichment and make them educational.
Wait, when did we add event coordinator to our resume or our life skills?
Yes,
but
truly.
It could literally be something as easy as just doing your own thing and pulling up like the chair beside you and being like, you are welcome to join in.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's funny too. It's like, how can we, that's the biggest thing is I think children crave independence, and our youngest does Montessori school part-time. So she like loves nothing more than when we give her tasks to do. And the other day I looked out the window and like they were pulling weeds together, and like, she just thought it was the most fascinating thing. And I was like, we cannot like stop our lives to be the entertainment for our children. They have to figure out how to entertain or find entertainment in life. And it doesn't have to be through screen. So it's like, how do we, you know what I mean? It's just, it's hard. Yeah. And like motherhood is hard. And we absolutely say, go watch a movie when you need stuff done. But it's like, again, it's like, how do we usher in that creativity? And I have a family member who is an elementary art teacher, and she said, Children these days can't even stare at a blank piece of paper and start drawing. They need someone to tell them what to do. And I was like, how do we get so far removed from our own creativity that that is the case? And so that's been something where I'm like, as a mom, like, how can I like foster creativity so that you can draw whatever you want on that white sheet of paper?
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly,
wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Okay, I think that is huge right there, because what you just pointed out is that by us trying to plan everything for our kids, making sure that they have every possible opportunity out there in the world that they could possibly do, we are robbing them of their ability to find those passions. We're basically
handing it to them.
Setting them up, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. We're setting them up to get to the point where we are.
Yes.
We're like, I don't even know what I like to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know? Because we did something that we thought would have a completely opposite effect, but obviously it doesn't, because if they're never able to explore things and figure them out on their own, they're always waiting for somebody else to present them with the opportunity.
Yes.
They're never going to be able to figure that out for themselves.
Yeah.
It's the permission to be bored.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's the thing. And here's the thing though. Let's even flip this a step further. When do we allow ourselves to be bored?
Yeah.
We fill every minute with scrolling. I mean, it's why people take their cell phones to the bathroom with them. We cannot be quiet with ourselves to even remember how to be creative again as adults. And I think that when we really unpack that is even scarier, yeah. Because it's like, if we are mirrors for our children and we want them to be bored, to be creative, where is the margin, or how do we find even margin in our life to be potentially bored?
It's something that's active, like in your brain every second of every day. Uh-huh. And it's like, you don't know how to survive without those little dopamine hits.
Yeah.
It's been something I've been thinking about for the past few days, actually, because my mental state has been like all over the place. And I'm like, well, what am I doing? Every time I'm bored, I'm reaching for my phone and I'm like looking on Instagram and like seeing what I can respond to, yeah. And just keeping quote unquote busy, but it's not serving me.
Yeah. I think the problem is that where is our enough point? What I mean by that is the reason why we're never bored is because we never say, well done, now rest. We're always like putting the finish line further and further and further out of reach, because what happens when we admit that we're actually content and at peace in our lives? Does that mean we're complacent? No, that means we're awake to the life we're living. We're actually enjoying what we're working so hard for. And so there's this part in the book where I was talking to literally one of my friends is a billionaire. She built a $1 billion company. And she is still running around like she is on food stamps, like truly, like she works so hard. And it's like, so it clearly wasn't the money. What is it that's driving you? It's the mission. It's the impact. But I told her, I said, you need to go, like you are, you know, we do those couch to 5K programs to learn how to run, which we hate doing anyways. We need to go. We're running the 5K every day of our lives as moms, as worker bees, as entrepreneurs. We are running 5K. That is easy for us now. That is all we do, is we are so focused on output. We need to learn how to get back to the couch. And I don't mean just laying there. I mean, like, just being still. So it's like, how do we literally train ourselves in pockets of time? Maybe it's 5 minutes. Maybe it's while you're washing the dishes, you just sit and breathe a little deeper. Like, have you ever had an Apple Watch that like goes off and reminds you to breathe? And you're like, oh yeah, that one thing that my body has been doing, but I haven't even thought about in 5 days. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love this idea about getting back to being at peace. And when you say like you're around these high achieving people, I mean, that's a huge thing that you kind of have to counter, I'm sure, mentally. When's the point to rest? When's the point that you could be happy with yourself? When's the point to say, like, you know what, I'm setting this boundary right here and I am not going to work anymore? Like, do you ever go through any guilt when it comes to that, where you're like, nope, I'm stopping right here and I'm resting?
No, it's funny. I was actually just talking to one of my best friends who's in the business space. And I was like, what is something that I do really good that you want to learn? Because I was just like thinking about like, what can I teach or what? She was, you are just so clear on what you want that you have no apologies about saying what you don't want. And there's a story in my book. I did this visualization exercise and it was picture the most like vibrant, energetic, excited version of yourself. You're healthy, you're awake, you're present. What are you doing? What does it look like for you? And I remember that day, I like in my vision, I had on these cute jeans and a white linen top. And I remember opening my eyes and I was like in like ratty dog hair covered yoga pants and like an old t-shirt. And I was like, I'm not even like dressing the part of my most vibrant self. I am waiting for life to happen or things that are out of my control to happen so that I can tackle the things that I am in control of. And I think that that happens for a lot of our lives. It's like, we are saying yes to all of these things that we believe might be our big break. Or, you know, we live with this notion of, if I hit the brake pedal, I'm going to forget where the gas pedal is. So I better not slow down. And I just unapologetically do it because my definition of success is not based on anyone else. And it's also not based on what things look like. It's on how I feel. For me, success is waking up and feeling peace and ease. And I don't mean that things are not chaotic. Like this morning, we were all up at like 5 a.m. and, you know, hanging out and we made a rocket ship out of a diaper box for this little baby doll. And like that, there is still chaos, but I don't look at my calendar and feel anxious or stressed because I love all the things I'm doing and I've said yes intentionally. And can I give a tip at this that is going to help moms much? Okay. So did anyone ever read the book Bringing Up Baby?
No. Yeah.
Okay. That was the only book that I read about parenting and it was like the French Montessori method. It sounded so much more like great. But there was this thing in that book that talks about lay pause. And what that means is when a baby is sleeping and a lot of times they're in active sleep, but it looks like they're awake, and a mom's tendency is to like scoop the baby up and think that they're awake when really they're just trying to like get back to sleep. And so the whole notion is like, just wait, like don't run into the room. Don't pick the baby up. Just wait for a minute or two and just see. Now how this works for us as moms and as women is like, we need to invite in more pauses into our life before we react, before we say yes. Like, I'm the type of person, if the three of us were together, we were out having like a happy hour, which would never happen because we're all too busy and we all have kids. If we were out for a happy hour and you were like, hey, Jenna, do you want to show up and do this thing next Thursday? My immediate tendency would be to say yes, because I love you. I'm having so much fun. I don't want to disappoint you. What I've now done is invited in lay pause to my life where I'm like, let me circle back and let me check my schedule and I'll circle back with you by the end of today. Go home, take a minute. Is that the right thing? Is that the right yes? Because every time I'm saying yes to something else, I'm saying no to something. And what has been so interesting is like when you take that little tiny pause to check in with yourself, you immediately know. Like when people say they don't know something, they're like, ah, you know, I feel like I've got to like leave the relationship or like leave the job or whatever, but I don't know. I'm like, you do know. You're waiting for someone to validate what you already know. And so it's like, I always take that like lay pause of like, don't wake up a sleeping baby of like, take a minute, check in, you know, if that was right or not. So anyways, don't overcommit.
You know how you feel. I love that. The lay pause. We need to practice that.
Jenna, what do you have right now that is coming up for you that you're really excited about?
Rest.
Yes.
Okay. So this goes in alignment with what we were kind of talking about, but in launching my book, I knew like my tendency is to like just go hard, go all out. Like that's fun for me. That's easy for me. But I knew that I had to really draw a finish line in sight and say, well done, you did it. So I'm actually taking almost a full month of quiet space and time with my family. I'm like, man, in Minnesota, we wait for summer all year long. I'm not going to work away this 1 month of beautiful weather. And so, yeah, I'm taking just a really quiet month and I'm really excited to just reflect and pause and be with my kids and do the fun things that we get to do in Minnesota. And so that's what I'm really excited about.
I love that. I love it. It has been such a joy, Jenna, to meet you and talk with you. And you've already supplied some quotes from my wall that I need to put up to remind myself of how to put myself out there and how to rest.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. You guys are the best.
Thanks.
So we're recording right now immediately after we got off with Jenna. And like my face, I'm still smiling.
It was such a fantastic conversation. I love talking to her. Talk about someone who really understands it and gets it and says the truth.
It says and encourages rest. Like we need more people encouraging rest out there because it's so go, 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 go for all of us. We're trying to achieve the next thing. We're trying to hit our goals, be like amazing people. And we don't really think about that we can't keep going if we don't take that time for rest.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, there was one thing that she said that really just kind of brought me back to somewhere that I was many, many, many years ago. In the very beginning, she talked about how she was meeting with her boss and had a picture of her kids and was like, if I'm lucky, I will get off work early enough to get home and give them a bath and put them to bed. I remember those sentiments when I had my first kiddo, when it came to the commute, like an hour and a half from my house.
That's crazy.
I was lucky if I got to get home with any time and have any energy left to enjoy my kid. And I just remember crying and feeling so lost. I had a real passion for what I was doing, working with children with disabilities, but I couldn't keep doing it. It was sucking my happiness out of me. And I think a lot of us get kind of stuck in that of thinking about this is what I have to do. I need to be a career person. I need to be successful. But we're not listening to what's sucking our happiness out of ourselves.
No. So when did we ever give people the power to tell us exactly what we have to do to be successful?
Yeah.
And that's something too that I'm going to keep in mind definitely when I put myself under stress and anxiety. Even now, even though like I feel like I'm living the dream and doing exactly what I want to do and having the balance around my life, still you measure yourself by these outward perceptions of success and what you've worked towards and just having the ability to change. I think that's what's going to stay with me. So
yes,
we hope you enjoyed our episode today. Subscribe to the No Guilt Mom podcast. Share it with your friends.
Drop us a little review. Hey, did you know that you can now rate podcasts on Spotify?
I didn't know that.
They have a star system.
Well, so that's new to me.
Drop us a rating on Spotify. Drop us a rating on Apple. We would love to have more people discover the No Guilt Mom podcast and enjoy hanging out with us fun gals.
Yeah. So until next time, remember the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.